but I can almost hear her say, merciful to me when I deserve to die. Merciful to me, my soul.
Wonderful song. All right, Nehemiah chapter 8. Find Nehemiah. If you're getting used to your Bible, getting familiar with it, go to the middle of the book of Psalms just about there. Go to your left a few pages. You'll come to the book of Nehemiah. Find chapter 8. How is the sound this morning? Are you hearing pretty clear on this side, in the back? Are you all right? Okay. In the middle, over here on this side, are you hearing okay? In the back? All right. Very good. Thank you. And it sounds pretty good up here. I'm going to try to give myself a little volume because I've lost it. Now it's back. And I'll just reach over and smack that thing every now and again. And maybe it'll get straightened out. If you are able to stand this morning, join me in standing in honor of God's Word. And in just a little bit in the message, you'll see a little explanation of why we stand, why we do what we do. Looking here at this text. We'll get into it in just a few moments. We're going to start reading in verse number 9. So follow along. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Now, I want you to notice that very familiar phrase, at the end of verse number 10. Many of you know it well, where the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I want to talk tonight, this morning, on the subject, when strength is needed. When strength is needed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day again, this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you that we can assemble this morning in peace. Thank you, Lord, that we're not concerned about our safety or well-being during these days, these hours of being here. So, Lord, help us today to concentrate on your word. I pray that you will guide our thoughts into your book. I pray that your spirit will open our eyes and help us to understand from the word of God this morning what we need. We spent the time and effort and energy and money to come today. So, Lord, please, we don't deserve anything, but we sure would be pleased to get some help from you. Your spirit, your word today. Speak to us. Help me as I preach. Fill us all with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. And be seated. There are many different emotions that I think can be experienced as one watches the anarchy and the mayhem sweeping our nation's cities. The same can be said as you read the insane statements and remarks being made by some of those who are in leadership in those same cities. Remarks like defund the police. It's just absolutely insane. Now, when you see and hear all that's happening in our country, you experience emotion. I hope you do. I hope you're not dead. All right? If just thinking about you and yourself alone, then maybe you don't experience any emotion. But I think most of us experience different emotions. I think about the emotion of anger. You know, watching people destroy and steal and loot and burn that which is not theirs. That which in some cases people have worked for a lifetime to build and have. I don't know about you, but that stirs me up on the inside with the emotion of anger. I think about the emotion of sadness. Again, watching people destroy and steal and loot and burn that which is not theirs. When you compare what's going on to what this country has been over the years. And by the way, we've had our times of riots. We've had the Watts riots. We've had the 68 riots at the Democrat National Convention. I remember when Martin Luther King was assassinated. My home city of Atlanta, Georgia, had a lot of riots. But, folks, I want to tell you something. It looked like riots on steroids. I don't ever remember a time when anybody stormed the White House. The fence. So when you look at that, you read about it, watch it, you get sad. There's a sadness that overcomes you. And then you get the emotion of concern, shall we say, even the emotion of fear. Deep concern about the future grips our hearts as we watch people destroy and steal and burn, wondering what kind of country future generations are going to live in going forward. So you got all this variety of emotions that are overwhelming us as we watch all of these events and listen to and read what's going on. There are other emotions as well, but maybe these are some of the more prevalent ones that I guess I'm speaking personally this morning have coursed through my core person these past couple of weeks. And when you stop and consider, now think about this, stop and consider the result, how it leaves you after those type emotions are experienced, especially if you feel them very strongly, you probably realize that they leave you void of strength. It's like it's exhausting. If I've heard one thing one time in the last 2 or 3 months, I've heard it 50 times. I'm exhausted. I had a pastor friend who came home after a grueling week, and he went to bed on Saturday night at 7:30 and slept till 6 o'clock Sunday morning. Now, if my calculations are right, what is that, 10 and a half hours? I don't remember the last time I slept 10 and a half hours. My gracious, I mean, that would be, but I mean, I think it's something that's pretty prevalent among people today. You know, because, and I think part of it is these strong emotions are coursing through us, and they are emotions that leave us void of strength. Anger can produce adrenaline. That's for sure. It is not something that lasts forever. You know, somebody can experience a surge of great strength as they have that's a result of adrenaline. You've all heard stories about, you know, parents or bystanders who come upon somebody trapped upon a car and there's nobody else around. The car's on fire and they're actually able to lift that car enough to get the person out. That's just the result of adrenaline, the strength that comes from adrenaline. But that strength doesn't last very long. You know that. Sadness can leave you drained of strength. Grief creates weakness. That's why people are allowed time off work. They can't operate to full capacity when they're grieving over the loss of a close loved one. And then, you know, fear can result in being paralyzed. Obviously last Sunday night we had a service here that was very low in attendance. Many folks didn't make it in. I don't blame you. There was a lot of craziness going on. I think things got a little bit exaggerated on Facebook. Imagine that. Something got exaggerated on Facebook. We had a service, but it was tense. If you were here, it was tense. It was just tense. I felt like the message was an absolute bomb. That it just, you know, kind of went out there and just crashed and burned. Like so many of those have over the years, amen. But then I began getting text messages from people in other places, Louisiana, other places, that say, man, thank you for the message. Thank you for the message. Strength, schedule, order. I needed that. We put it in, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, I know what happened. It was just tense in here. Everybody's kind of looking over their shoulder last Sunday night because of all the disturbances that were going on. Maybe some of them exaggerated. But that's my point. Look, people, none of these emotions create strength. Anger doesn't create strength. Maybe for a little while, then it's gone. Sadness, fear, none of those emotions create strength, okay? And these are days when strength is necessary. You and I need more than a surge of adrenaline, but real, deep, abiding strength of resolve and courage is necessary. Strength, I've said it before. You say, I think I've heard this maybe 3 weeks ago. Look, I'm on this subject because God's impressing upon my heart that people need to hear this type thing right now. Strength, we need strength. Strength that enables us to lead our families, to see our children through these tumultuous times. We need strength to carry on in this life like God wants us to. We don't need to get paralyzed in our Christianity right now. And there is a strength that is available to everybody who wants it. We're going to look this morning in the source of all truth to learn where that strength comes from, okay? That strength can be found. And I'm so thankful I have a Bible. I don't know if you've done this, but I have held this book in my hand these past 2 or 3 months and said, God, I am so grateful I have a book of truth. Amen. So thankful. But tell you something, folks. There's more to it than just having a book of truth. There's more to it than even knowing what it says. It's got to be experienced. That's where it makes the difference. When you and I experience the truth that we read about, even preach about and talk about. And so we want to look this morning at this subject. Now, the main subject of the book of Nehemiah is the rebuilding of the wall around the city of Jerusalem. Okay, remember Jerusalem had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army during the 3 invasions that they made into Judah. And then the children of Israel got carried off into captivity for 70 years. And after that 70-year period was over, many Jewish people returned to their home country to find it completely wasted. I've said before, folks, live what you read about. These are not figments of people's imaginations. These are real happenings. How would you expect to find your house, your home, if you left for 70 years and returned? It would be in shambles. Weeds would be growing up, trees growing everywhere. That's what the children of Israel came back to after 70 years. They found it completely wasted. The altar and most of the temple were rebuilt first, and their worship began to be restored. Okay? But the capital city remained defenseless because the wall that protected it was in ruins. There were no gates in place to keep the enemy or even wild beasts, if you will, out of the city. And so God burdened a man's heart, Nehemiah, and sent him back to the city with the task of rebuilding the wall. And it was a remarkable thing. He led a group of people to work together, and that immense wall was completed in 52 days. 52 days. Unbelievable. Now, after the wall was finished, the leaders began to encourage the people to return to living for God according to their law. Let's get moving again. Hello. Let's get operating again. Hello. Let's get back in the swing of normal Christianity again, all right? And we see in this chapter that the people had gathered in the street to hear Ezra read from the book of the law of Moses. Look at verse number 1. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. So what's Ezra got? He's got the Word of God. He's got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I don't know if he's got it all, but he's got a portion of it at least to read, all right? Look at verse number 3 with me. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Yeah, I got a couple of amens on that one. Man, our services on Sunday have been long. He read from morning until midday. The Jewish day began at 6 a.m. Midday was noon. Don't hold your breath. We're okay. You can breathe, all right? We're not going to. I just want to bring that to your attention this morning. All right? Long-winded preachers and Bible readers, I'm not the first lot to come along. This won't be that long this morning. Look at verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. That's why we use a pulpit. That's why we use a pulpit, which they had made for the purpose. And then all these men whose names you can't pronounce and I can't pronounce stood on his right and his left behind him there, kind of like, you know, assistants and so forth. Verse number 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for who he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Why do we stand for the reading of God's word? Well, when Ezra opened the book, all the people stood. Wonder why they did that. Why do people stand when the national anthem is played? Why do people stand at other times? Why do people stand when the Hallelujah chorus is sung? We stand in honor of the book that's been magnified above all of His name. Okay? That's why we do what we do. Verse number 6. We're talking about what's happening here. This is not Jack and the Beanstalk. This is real. This is going on. Verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, oh my, with lifting up their hands. Oh boy. And I come to church and I see people in your services once in a while raise their hand. What are they doing? And all the people raised their, lifted up their hand. I'm afraid of getting Pentecostal. You need a little Pentecostal. You need a little something. Yes, we do. Not afraid of that at all. Not a bit. They're hollering, Amen, Amen. I come to the service, and I hear people, this guy over here hollers, Amen. Guy over here hollers, Amen. Guy back here hollers, Amen. Well, all the people. We're not even obeying the Bible. All the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifted up their hands. Yeah, they bowed their heads, worshiped the Lord with their face. They're worshiping the Lord, okay? Then verse number 7, several speakers take turns explaining what Ezra had read. And then you got to verse number 8. Well, you talk about a great explanation of Bible preaching. Look at verse 8. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly. They didn't read in Reader's Digest. They didn't read from Facebook. They didn't read from anybody's Instagram account. They read from the law, the book of God. All right? And gave the sense. They gave the interpretation. And then, look at it, verse number 8, then and caused them to understand. They made application. There's a little method behind the madness of a service. Okay? The preacher reads from the book of God, and then with the help of God's Spirit, hopefully, enabling him, he gives the sense, the interpretation of the passage. And then with God's help, he makes the application so people can get the understanding of all that was read. So all of this is going on in Jerusalem after the wall was rebuilt. And then you come to verse number 9. Look what happens here. And Nehemiah, we read this earlier. which is the Tershith, and Ezra the priest described the Levites to talk to people. Look at verse number. This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Look what he says. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. So get the picture. Ezra's up there reading from the book of God, and you got these people explaining it. They're giving the sense of it. The people are understanding. An understanding is coming upon the hearts and minds of the people who are listening. And oh my goodness, how necessary the help of the Holy Spirit is in a preaching service for the understanding to fall upon us. People, I hope that's what happens when you come to the preaching services. I hope you leave with an understanding of Scripture. You know, you may find inspiration. You may find motivation. There may be conviction. But when you go home, I hope you have a better understanding of God's Word. There's nothing we need more than an understanding of what this book teaches right here. And the result that was produced when these people understood, look at it. All the people wept. They began to weep. What made them weep? Well, the words they had heard stirred their hearts with emotion. The emotion of grief, the emotion of sadness, maybe conviction. And they began to weep standing in the street there. And can I say this morning that this is the effect that the law of God should have on a person? The law is our schoolmaster. A schoolmaster is a teacher. What does the law teach us? Listen, they don't have good news right now. But it teaches us how wicked we are. It teaches us how ungodly our nature is as a human being. It shows us how far short we fall of God's expectation of righteousness and holiness. It demands punishment for our wrong, and it puts us under condemnation. And you know what that brings, folks? That brings an emotion of sadness and grief. Right. Oh, my! This is why when we try to share the gospel with people, you always start out with the subject of sin. You always start out with helping people to try to understand from the Word of God, all men are sinners. And sin has a penalty. Sin has a price. Because look, a person who doesn't know he's sick won't go to the doctor. But when you take the Word of God and you share the gospel, and the gospel begins with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why did Christ die? He died for our sin. So that's where you have to start. And a lot of times in a gospel presentation, if the Spirit of God is bringing true conviction on a person, you can see the sadness, you can see the sorrow, you can see the acknowledgement of the fact that, oh my goodness, I mean, sometimes it's not as external as other times, but you can see it. It produces the effect of sadness and sorrow. And this is what was happening here in Jerusalem, in the street, as they read from the law of God. And Nehemiah and the other leaders, they saw it. They saw the tears and they saw the sadness, and they immediately began to exhort the people. No. Don't weep. No, don't weep. Don't weep. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 10. Go your way, eat the fat. In verse number 9, he told them, mourn not nor weep. And go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. So he said, look, this day is a holy day. This day was set aside as holy unto the Lord. The truth of the matter is, church, it was the first day of the seventh month. And in Jewish law, the first day of the seventh month was set aside to worship the Lord with offerings and sacrifices. It was a day almost like our Sunday, a special day. They were not supposed to work on this day. It was to be set aside to worship God. Offer Him sacrifices pleasing to Him. And because it was, now this is kind of the crux right here. Because it was, the people could not do what they needed to do while being overcome with sadness, grief, and weeping. They couldn't do it. They couldn't offer the sacrifices. They couldn't bring the offerings. They couldn't worship God like they were supposed to on this day. Now, I don't want you to miss this. They had heard the words from God's book. They realized there was much wrong with them personally. There was much wrong with them as a nation. They realized how far from God their forefathers had gone. They realized how harshly God had punished them because of their sin as a nation. Here, listen now. They saw much wrong with themselves. But people, they needed to see that even though there was much wrong with themselves, there was still so much good about God. Still so much good about God. You know, we started singing the song here at the end of the service, and even during the service, in the back of the book there, in your song book, God is Still Good. That is not just for a time filler. That is because in the middle of this battle, in the middle of all this uncertainty, in the middle of all that's going on here that creates anger and sadness and fear, emotions that sap our strength, God's people need to know that He is still good. Amen. That's why we sing it. God is still good when the waves crash high. God is still good all through the night. And I forget all the words. I have to find them right here. You know that. But that's why we do it. It's not just a time filler. It's necessary. And you see a little bit of example of it here in Nehemiah chapter 8. Hey, No. Don't weep. Don't mourn. There's a time for that, but it's not now. This is the day to worship God. This is the day to serve God. This is the day to obey the Lord. Hey, this is the day to find the goodness of God. I want you to see three things this morning. We'll be done. Number one, I want to show you again. That's kind of a repeat of some of what has just been said. Look at their need of strength. Their need of strength. Now, here it is. In order to do what they were supposed to do, they needed strength. Strength of mind, strength of will, strength of purpose, strength of determination, strength of action. Strength, 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 strength. O thou God of all, help us when we call. We're soldiers in the Lord's army. This is a battle. It is a pretty severe battle right now, a fierce one. Rouse them, soldiers. What? We don't need to be overcome with the anger, with the emotion of anger and sadness and fear that saps our strength. We don't need that right now. They needed strength. This was a day for worship. They had things that had to be done. They were to offer sacrifices to the Lord. They were to eat, to drink themselves, and send portions to those who were without. Now look, folks, Jesus died. Jesus was buried, rose again, fulfilled all the offerings and sacrifices that were necessary to please God. So guess what? Now all the days are holy to God. Today is a special day, His special day. But you know what? If you're saved, tomorrow is holy to the Lord as well. And so is Tuesday, and so is Thursday, and so is Saturday. We're to live for God, to bring honor to Him, serve Him day after day. And you know what's necessary to do that? Strength is necessary to do just that. And again, I say to all of us this morning, these are days which can cause us great sorrow, great sadness, in some cases fear, anger. It's difficult to carry out our responsibilities when we are burdened down with sorrow. These emotions deplete strength. These are tough days, tough times. You know what the wise man said in Proverbs? If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy what? Strength is small. Now, these are days of adversity. And I'm not crawling behind a rock saying, oh my. We don't need that. They can leave us void of the fortitude that we need to move forward as spouses, to move forward as parents, to move forward as young people, doing what we need to do to serve God and serve each other. And strength is necessary to carry on as we are supposed to. So my question is this morning, are you depleted of strength? Do you find yourself exhausted? You find yourself burdened down by what you hear or read on Fox or see on the internet by way of, you know, websites and so forth and so on and videos. Do you find yourself waning and fainting? Do you find that the circumstances of these days fill you with emotions that deplete your strength? Have you said in the last several weeks or couple of months, I'm exhausted? You said that? Is that how you feel? Well, folks, it's not unusual. Those emotions deplete the strength. So their need of strength was obvious. They needed strength to do what they were supposed to do. Number two, and I like this one, look at the source of strength. The source of strength. So these leaders, they saw the emotion of sorrow that was overwhelming the people, and immediately they encouraged them with this truth. No. Don't weep. Don't mourn. Look. The joy. This is a holy day. This is a day to serve God. This is a day to offer sacrifices and please Him and praise Him and honor Him. So you don't need to be weeping and worrying and crying and void of strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And people, that's still the truth. That is still the source of strength. You know, there was a joy for them in knowing Jehovah God was their Lord. You know what I like about this? The Lord had punished them for their sin as a nation. But He had not left them in punishment. He had not left them abandoned to the woodshed. Now, some of us grew up in this day and age when going to the woodshed was what all parents did with their children. I see heads, knowledgeable heads, bobbing up and down this morning. I got taken to the woodshed many times. Timeouts, that's what we had in basketball. That's the only place we had timeouts. Basketball. We didn't have timeouts at home. I don't ever remember my mother pulling out a 3x5 car with blue ink on it or something. I don't remember that. I remember getting taken to the woodshed. Not literally. Not a literal woodshed. But you know what I'm talking about. I got taken to the punishment. But you know what? Because I had the right kind of parents, even though I was taken to the woodshed, they didn't leave me there. They didn't leave me there. And God had taken the nation of Israel to the woodshed, but He had not left them in punishment. He had not abandoned them. Listen, He had expelled them from their homeland, but He had not banished them from His grace and His mercy. They were still, thank God, His people. And His supply of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness, that supply was as full as it had ever been. That God was their Lord, and they knew Him. And there was joy in knowing that God was their Lord. And I want to say to all the saved people in this room today, friend, look, you may feel like, you know, you may look around and say, you know what? I just wonder if part of this is the result of Christians fumbling the ball. And you probably can make a case for that. We probably have fumbled the ball to some degree. And previous generations maybe have fumbled the ball. Maybe our evangelism hasn't been near as intense and fervent as it should have been. Maybe our own Christianity has become lukewarm. We're not salt. We're not light. And some of the things that are going on, you may interpret as, you know, I wonder if God is just starting to put His hand of judgment on our country, even the people at the house of God. And folks, you know what? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I'm not God. But I will tell you this. If that is going on, if God is taking us to the woodshed a little bit, He won't leave us there. He doesn't abandon us to punishment. He doesn't expel us from His mercy and grace, never to be brought back again. His mercy, His grace, His love, His forgiveness, His long-suffering with us is as full as it ever has been. I'm just saying, look, there is joy in knowing that God is your Lord. And if you can say this morning that you've been born into the family of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, if your sins have been forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, you belong to God, and nobody and no thing can take that away from you. That's settled. That's eternal. I recall what Jesus told the disciples when He sent them out two by two. And when they came back from their journey, they came back rejoicing and shouting. And Jesus said, why are you so happy? And they said, man, Jesus, you wouldn't believe it. We saw devils cast out of people. We saw signs and wonders. We saw folks healed. We saw all these things taking place. And remember what Jesus told them? He said, fellas, I was around when Satan got kicked out of heaven for the original sin. I've seen all that. He said, let me tell you why you ought to rejoice. Don't rejoice in those things. Rejoice in the fact that your names are written down in the book of life. Because every name written down in the book of life is written there with permanent ink. It's not coming out. There's joy in knowing that God is your Lord. There should have been some emotion of joy through all of this as you watch this place fall apart and burn. There should have been some emotion of joy in your heart. Thank God I'm saved. Now, the truth of the matter is, there's a handful of folks that would be caught up in that mess and participating in it. Probably sitting in this room. If it wasn't for the grace of Almighty God. You ought to be thankful you're saved. Thankful you got a Bible. There's joy in knowing that God is your Lord. Are you saved this morning? God is still your supply of grace. He's still your supply of mercy. He's still your supply of love and forgiveness. Yes, we've lived in a great country. Yes, America's been the land of the free and the home of the brave. Yes, this is the land that my mother-in-law immigrated into from the Germany and Poland after World War II. Yes, this is a great land. But America is not the source of our grace. America is not the source of our mercy. America is not the source of love. God Almighty is. And if this thing is falling apart, it ought to even create more joy in our hearts that we know God. We know the Lord. We're saved. There's joy in knowing God was their Lord. There's also joy in serving Jehovah God, the Lord. There was joy in serving Him. And that's what their exhortation was to the people, Ezra and Nehemiah. No. Don't weep. This is a holy day. This is a special day. This is a day for praising God and honoring God. So don't do that. Now here's what you need to do. Eat and drink and then make provision for those who don't have. Hello. I'm going to be very transparent with you. It's been very difficult for me to see some of the video footage and have any kind of empathy on those people. But you know what's been bombarding my mind? What does Christ feel toward them? How does Christ feel toward that crowd? I'll be honest with you, I'm being transparent. I can't help it. I'm just being transparent with you this morning. Seeing that stuff has created some dark thoughts in my heart. Not compassionate thoughts. Dark thoughts. I rejoiced in what that sheriff said down in Tampa. I told the residents of my county, you go in their home, they're supposed to blow you back out through the front door. And I thought, yeah! And I'm not really excited about it. I'm not really happy about it. I've been dark in my heart. I will tell you something, folks. If I understand this book, even though God will bring judgment upon the unsaved, there is no pleasure with God in the death of the wicked. Hell was not created for them. Christ feels compassion for that crowd. And you know what? There's joy. You know what a source of joy is for a child of God? Go out there and prepare something for those who are without. That's why I rejoiced yesterday so much when Brother Allen had Samantha give her testimony in the meeting yesterday morning about she and her sisters being able to lead two of those teenage girls in their neighborhood to Christ just recently. I'll tell you something, folks. Look, as much as the Lord Jesus Christ died for me and died for you, He died for all of those people out there throwing bricks through windows. I I'm not saying capitulate. I don't feel led to kneel with them. No, sir. But I cannot wish them in hell and be a good Christian.
Right.
Cannot. Serve others. This is what happens to us when things like this surround us as much as they have in the recent weeks, and we get all these emotions of anger and sadness and fear, and I'm exhausted, yes, because those emotions do not create strength. Those emotions deplete strength. Well, where can I find strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. There is joy in knowing God, and there is joy in serving God. And the way we serve God is to serve others. We don't capitulate to the lost crowd, but we don't wish them in hell. We don't wish them in hell. We are right now trying to devise means and ways to get immediately, I mean as soon as we can, started in the area of reaching out again with evangelism to this community. I think we have a very creative and interesting door hanger that's being printed right now. We're not going to knock on the doors, but we're going to leave them on the door, and hopefully God will pray over those things, and hopefully God will use them. Our bus captains are hearing this every Saturday. When are our kids going to be able to come back to church? I hear that, folks, and my heart gets heavy. The kids are wanting to come back to church. You can say what you want to, but we just had a wedding just a few weeks ago of a young lady that was reached through the bus ministry here. You can say what you want about it. It's time to serve others. It's time to get our eyes off of ourselves. It's time to get the emotion. It's time for the sense of weakness and exhaustion that is the result of anger and sadness and fear. It's time to replace that with the joy of God, because it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. There's joy in knowing God. There's joy in serving God. And when you get that joy, that puts you in a position of strength. That's the source of strength. I'm done now. And this is so important, their experience of strength, and I'm done. Look at verse 12, their experience of strength. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great worth. Mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Now, folks, look at the beginning of verse 12. Look at it. They went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions. Go back up to verse number 10. This is what they were told. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions. So guess what? For one time, it did more than come into this ear and go out that ear. For one time in their life, it came in this ear, went to this thing, and they went home, and they understood what Nehemiah and Ezra were saying. Thank you. I appreciate it. That's exactly what I need. They grabbed it, they embraced it, and they didn't leave it in the gymnasium. They took it with them. And they put it to work. They ate, and they drank, and they sent portions to those who were without. It's not just knowing Bible truth. It's not just hearing Bible truth. It's experiencing Bible truth. Experiencing it. You know, I said that first Wednesday night, March 15th, when we divided up into groups of 50, I gave you five suggestions on how to face what we had no idea we were going to face at that time. And one of those things was guard your what? Okay, you don't remember. I'm sorry. Guard your intake. Guard your intake. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. You've got to guard your intake. I feel so exhausted. What have you been doing? I don't know. I just been watching Fox News for a couple of hours. What have you been doing? I've been listening to Rush Limbaugh for 3 hours. I'm mad. Yeah, I know. Rush will stir you up. We have to guard that, folks. Anger, sorrow, grief, sadness, fear. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. I'm going to read a few chapters in this book. I'm going to take a few minutes and say, Lord, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm thankful I'm saved. God, help me to serve you today. How about those guys that you work with? How about the people with whom you serve there in your place of business? Many of them without God. Intake affects our emotions. Emotions can deplete strength. The joy of the Lord supplies strength. When strength is needed, you find it in the joy of the Lord. Your salvation and your service for Him. People, we want some magic lightning bolt to hit us from the sky and make us happy. Not going to happen. You're saved, serve God. That's where the source of joy is. And that will give you strength when you need it to be the dad, the mom, the husband, the wife, the young person, the Christian God wants you to be. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my... He fills my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. Not laughing silly, but heavenly laughter. I'm saved. I don't know about you. If I've thought one thing through all of this, oh, God, I'm glad I'm saved. Phew. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for salvation. I thank you so much for what's in your book when it comes, God, to truth. It is truth. And Lord, I do pray for people this morning in this room listening. I pray for those, some listening by way of the internet. I pray, God, that you would please help your people to have the strength that we need to do what we need to do in honor of you, to live for you, to serve you. Lord, I pray that we would not let ourselves get exhausted through anger and sorrow and fear and sadness. Lord, help your people to rejoice in their knowledge of you, and help your people to serve you, because the joy of the Lord, your joy, is our strength. Thank you so much for that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question this morning, Pastor. Somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God took a little nugget and just nudged my heart with it. Something was said that I think I needed to hear this morning, and I want God to help me with it as He showed me. Would you raise your hand this morning if that's you all over the house? I see your hand. God bless you. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Let me ask this question. If you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved. You're not sure that you are a born-again child of God. It's not religion, it's not baptism, it's salvation through the shed blood of Jesus. If you're not sure you're saved, can I at least just pray for you, not by name, but just generically asking God to help you? You say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure where I'm going when I die. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand if that's you this morning? You're not sure that you're saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Man or woman, young person, boy or girl, member or visitor, doesn't matter. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege to preach your word this morning. I pray, oh God, that you will indeed help us to find the strength that's available to us in the joy of the Lord. Oh God, thank you that we're saved. Lord, what about those who are not? So many don't have the knowledge of God. Oh God, please help us to serve others. Help us to serve each other. Help us to rejoice in knowing you. And God will find our strength that's needed. Thank you for the truth you've given us in your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Naomi to play. I know it's a bit unusual, but I hope that you'll use the altar this morning. God spoke to your heart. Come forward for a few feet. Make your chair an altar. Spend a moment just standing around here asking God to help you. Are you exhausted? Are you finding yourself weary and worn because of all that's going on? Feeling sometimes hopeless and helpless, and just out of strength as far as exhaustion goes. I don't know what's wrong with me. Just could be you need to find the joy of the Lord again, folks. Find the joy of the Lord, because it's our strength. You come this morning, let the Lord work in your heart. Help you with that truth today. While we wait, She's playing that beautiful old song, Have Thine Own Way. This is a good time to let the Spirit of God have His way in your heart.